Grace, mercy, and peace be with you this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People often say that there are two guarantees in life: dying and paying taxes. Well, this morning, I like to argue that there is a third, and it is simply this: the sun will come up. And so often, like those other two guarantees, this guarantee also does happen whether we want it to or not. Oh, don't get me wrong, there are those mornings that we look forward to the sun arising. There's that morning on the first day of your vacation. There's that morning on the first full day of your retirement. And yes, of course, the granddaddy of them all. Yes, that first morning of the Wisconsin gun deer season. But then there are those days, too, in which we wish the sun wouldn't rise. The morning of the day that you go in for the results of the test. That morning when you will say goodbye to your loved one for the very last time. Whether we like it or not, the sun will arise. And these are the words, or more accurate, the warning that the Lord spoke through the prophet Malachi. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that will leave them neither root nor branch. The last day, judgment day, a day in which we should be ready for. Yet for the people of Israel, the people whom the Lord sent Malachi to, they were not at all ready. But they should have been. You see, it wasn't that long ago that they knew what it was like when you don't heed God's warnings and instead keep turning away from Him. God allowed the Babylonians to seize the city of Jerusalem. They leveled it. They destroyed the temple. And as for the people themselves, they were exiled from their own homeland. Again, you would have thought the people would have learned their lesson. But after 70 years, when the people returned, they rebuilt the city, they rebuilt the walls. Yes, they even rebuilt the temple. Well, Jerusalem would never be the same. But the people still were. They still continued to disrespect their God. They doubted His love. They were despising His name. They weren't offering to God sacrifices worthy of Him, but instead offered Him the ones they didn't want. Oh, we'll keep the good ones. We'll give the Lord the ones who are blemished, the lame, and the blind. And maybe worst of all, while all this was going on, they had the audacity of saying God was being unfair. So what has God left to do? It sure seems fitting. Another 70 years of being exiled is maybe what these people need too. Well, for the people. Thankfully, my way of thinking is not God's way of thinking. Instead of showing justified anger, God instead decides to show his children his love. So he sends Malachi to call them to repentance, to repent of what they were doing, to repent of what they thought of God. And one more thing, to remember. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the laws that I commanded him at Horeb for all of Israel. But remembering the law of Moses, though, didn't just mean remembering the Ten Commandments to straighten up and be good. No, it meant much more than that. Because on Mount Horeb, God also gave to Moses the instructions for the tabernacle, the place where God would dwell with his people for the forgiveness of their sins. So it was with the tabernacle and the sacrifices that God was calling his people to straighten up, to raise their head, and yes, to look forward to the day when their Savior would indeed rise up. But after Malachi, silence would be for 400 years. Yes, the Savior would indeed rise up. Jesus Christ, whom Malachi refers to as the Son of Righteousness, would come down from heaven to save us from our sins. For he too would die. Die on the cross, but yet rise from dead to defeat death. And now ascended back into heaven. It's now our turn to wait. For just as he promised, the Son of Righteousness will arise once more on that last day, when he will also raise all the dead and give all to you and to all the people who are in him eternal life. Just like the people of Israel, he wants all people to be ready, to not dread the day, but to look forward to it joyfully. So how about you? Are you really looking forward to the day when Jesus comes again? I think without hesitation, we all going to sit there and say, of course, Pastor, we want Jesus to come. As a matter of fact, if Jesus even came right now, how wonderful that would be. But yet when you sit back and truly ponder Christ's return, are you really all that ready? I'll be the first one to admit it. There are things I still want to do in my life before Christ comes. I'd like to go see Hawaii. I like to go elk hunting in Colorado. I like to see a grandchild. I like to sit on the shores of Shawano Lake with my wife and probably with Joe and enjoy my golden years. By the way, I am hoping Tim is out by then. You know, as country singer Joe Diffie sang it so correctly, Lord, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go tonight. But then there's that other side of Christ's return too, isn't there? It's not worrying about the things we haven't done. But the things we have done. You all know it. You know that one sin that keeps haunting you. Or maybe your relationship with God isn't where you want it to be. You know, I'm just like everyone else. I sit back and I look at the Israelites. I read their story and I keep thinking to myself, how could you be that way toward God? Especially after everything that he did for you. And yet we're no better. We doubt his love. We despise his name. And when or if we give back to the Lord, is it always our first fruits? Or do we give God our leftovers too? Just like the people in Malachi's day, I don't think we're all that eager for the sun to rise on the last day, because we're not who we should be. We should know better. And the evidence of our need is all around us. Because one question haunts us all. What will Jesus think of me when he returns? Of course, we know that's Satan talking to us, don't we? Because God says we don't need to doubt. God says we do not need to be afraid. For you will be ready. Ever so merciful, he promises to send someone who will herald the rising of the sun of righteousness. That we not only be ready, but that we also be joyful. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Malachi calls him Elijah. In the New Testament, we know him better as John the Baptist. For he will proclaim repentance. But even more, he will point to Jesus Christ and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings." Healing for us who are sick with sin. Healing for those of us who are weighed down by life. Healing for us desperate in need of forgiveness and joy. Oh, and how those words are still fitting this very day. And they are. For the Lamb of God became our sacrifice, the final sacrifice. His body and blood shed and given for the forgiveness of your sins. All done so that, yes, when the Son of Righteousness comes back again, We don't have to worry what he will think of you, what he will think of me. No. For when Jesus comes back again, he will look at us and say, yes, your sins are forgiven. Yes, you are one of my sheep. So how long? How long will it be? Only God the Father knows. But until that day comes for you, you can live in the confidence of his forgiveness and in joy, knowing that whenever that day comes, you will be ready. What a morning it'll be when the Son of Righteousness comes back. I don't know how many of you ever had a chance to work on a farm. I had a chance when I was growing up, thankfully. And yes, I know what Malachi wrote about when he said, you will leap like a calf out of the stall. Take it from someone who knows from experience. When that barn door is open, they are the first ones to go running out. Running out in joy. That's going to be you. Leaping at the joy of a new day. The day of heaven. The day when eternal life begins. When the Son of Righteousness will shine forever. Amen.